All right, everyone, we have a very special guest. I'm very excited because you know I've been talking for a long time now about nutrition and toxins and mental health, more recently emotional health. But really, so much of my heart is on the spiritual world and our connection to spirituality. You hear me say this all the time. We need to have a connection to the spirit world for our health. It's not just about eating right. It goes deeper than that. So I got my man over here, Shaman Durek. He's a prominent leader in the Now Age movement, making ancient wisdom accessible. As a sixth generation shaman and a modern spiritual teacher, through his best-selling book, Spirit Hacking, Shamanic Keys to Reclaim Your Personal Power, Transform Yourself and Light Up the World, he simplifies timeless philosophies and religions into applicable teachings on empowered conscious living. Shaman Durek's popular podcast called Ancient Wisdom Today. He's got an online shaman school, a virtual healing temple to help guide you to unlock your potential and overcome limiting patterns. He's got a ton of work on holistic health, on diversity of traditions, but check this out. He's been all over the place. He's been on TV. He's been on big high-end publications, and now we got him on Heal Thyself because he's going to be bridging ancestral knowledge with modern thought leadership. This is going to be so good because we're going to be talking deep, deep about integrating spirituality in our overall health. And this is for everyone because we are spiritual beings. My guy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an honor, and I appreciate you choosing me to be on your show.
Listen, I can't think of anyone else who can help guide us on this spirituality talk, because we overlook so much of what it means to be healthy without even having a connection to the spiritual world. You know, we'll look at, we got to eat this and we got to go here and I got to do this workout and I got to do this biohacking. But we're not just physical beings. Off air, we were talking about spirituality and you said, we're defining spirituality the wrong way here. How do you define spirituality?
Well, you know, a lot of times people like to define spirituality as some type of modality that they involve themselves in, be it like doing yoga or meditating or doing ayahuasca or doing anything that they deem to be spiritual. But spirituality just means evolution. It means a person who chooses to evolve. And evolution is a true understanding of how in which to facilitate and bring about the optimization as yourself as a human being. So you're not just operating on one faculty, if it's just the physical or the emotional or the mental or the spiritual. It is actually a comprehensive inter-experience, both outer experience of your world perspective, your belief system, the food you put in your system, the relationship you have with your ancestors, the awareness of your ancestors and their patterns, so that you can overcome certain types of emotional insecurities, mental situations that may have led to certain types of complications that you may be going through, and how you interact with society on a sociological level, on an anthropological level, as well as bringing together a forefront of yourself as a sovereign being with an individualized understanding of how you bring wisdom, how you bring intelligence to the planet as you. There is an understanding of integrative awareness, and that integrative awareness is what spirituality is. And then that is evolution. And most people who even deem to be spiritual are not really aware of what that means, because they've been caught up in the very myriad of new age concepts and you know, kind of going from that perspective. Mm,
this is the perfect place to see that. There's so much of that in LA. So you're saying, there's so much of what we think is spirituality, but it's not partaking in these practices. It's the evolution of self.
Yes.
And understanding what we're bringing to the world, you're saying, how we embody that?
It's not just how you embody it. It's how you embody yourself and the contribution in that embodiment, how it is actually creating a cause-effect reaction, both planetarily and universally, and then operating in the consensus of how you're operating with your energy based on your epigenetics, the way that you operate in your system when you're communicating to people. Are you a person who communicates authenticity? Are you a person who speaks truth? Or are you a person who has to go somewhere and has to get liquored up and drunk because you have your emotional intelligence is still, you know, in a very low range of intelligence. So your insecurities are much more outspoken, and therefore you have a more challenging time to adapt here on this planet to any type of situation, be it the pandemic or any kind of war or any kind of subversive situation that may take place, you won't have the tools to continue to thrive. Because if we look at kind of the theories of Darwin, for instance, and saying like the fittest is the one, right? It's not really the fittest is the one. It's the one who is able to be flexible, mutable, change, able to move with the way things move and be able to adapt.
The adaptability to the ever-changing world, right? Because it is always dynamic and moving.
Yes.
So then how do we know that we are, quote unquote, doing a good job in our spiritual evolution? What would we be experiencing and knowing that, hey, I'm better than I was a year ago because I'm evolving?
Well, I think the first key to recognizing any form of growth when it comes to your to the human perspective of living on planet Earth is your life becoming easier? Are you becoming more ease and grace with yourself when it comes to conflicts? Do you have less, involvement in dramatic situations, like you know, anything from interpersonal conflicts or self-conflict? Are you able to maneuver your thinking in a way where you're not, you know, destroying yourselves and your mental, faculties by creating mental health issues because you're thinking incorrectly, you're thinking malfunctionally, you're operating on a mindset that is about destroying yourself and ruining your opportunity to evolve and enjoy this beautiful planet that is so lush and has so much resource and so much opportunity to bring awareness and education. And when I say education, I mean remembrance to those around you that can benefit from creating a planet that is sustainable versus people operating on this pattern of, and I talk about it in my book, which is that, you know, you come here, you want to be perfect, you want to find the perfect husband, perfect wife, you go to college, you drink beer, you know, you finish school, you get married, you have kids, you get on retirement, you take vacations every year, and you do all of these things that the Matrix wants you to do. And then, you know, you take a vacation in Hawaii or some other place in the world and you think that you're actually free. That's not freedom. That's not freedom at all. And the system wants you to believe that living in a way where you are being withheld from true freedom is freedom. And so you have all these people in the world who are running around like a rat race trying to meet these expectations, these ideas of being liked and loved, the idea of needing to have someone give you an accolades in order to believe in yourself, people operating in complete disconnection with themselves and then claim that they're living these great lives because they have money in the bank. That's not life. That's slavery. It's just modeled with a very glamorized way of looking at it. So some people don't even realize you can have, like I have friends who are, you know, multimillionaires and billionaires, and I had to come into their lives because they were so depressed and on the verge of suicide, mental breakdowns all the time, you know, and it was because the money wasn't enough. Because you can have all the money in the world and you can be the most successful person, but at the end of the day, do you feel good in your body? Are you surrounded by beautiful friends and people who are conscious, loving, unconditionally accepting, allowing you to speak about anything at any given time where you feel a sense of freedom every time you wake up in the morning? You're not living with this knife behind your back. You're living with the awareness that you get to choose to take in new information, share something, contribute, create, delight, to actually participate in a way where you're not in force, which is what the Matrix wants you to experience. It wants you to experience being in force, and then it wants you to do that to yourself. And as the great Bob Marley said, only but us can free our mind. Redemption song. And that the idea of a person who is operating on a scale of optimization is so much more grander than someone who's just running the rat race and trying to show face and keep ahead with everybody just to get liked and loved, which is a principle of disillusionment.
Mm-hmm. We think about society and the way it's structured. And most people we know went about that timeline that you just said, you know, wanting to get married, you know, having the funding in the college and then retiring and ultimately just living on retirement and then dying and then going, what kind of life did I lead? What is the biggest personal block, right? Because they're systemic, the structure of how we come into it. What's our biggest personal block from feeling that freedom?
Well, the personal block that you have is that you give people dominion over yourself. Could be a family member, could be your lover, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, could be a friend, could be society, could be your boss, could be the person you have a business with. Dominion, giving dominion to people makes you live your life in the need to meet expectations in order to be loved. So your quality of life is actually not a quality that's pleasant and free, because you're running around wanting to please everyone around you and meet everyone's expectation of how they want to see you, what they want to hear from you, what they believe about you. And most human beings can't even handle the level of truth that would come from society if they were to live their truth. So they hide behind these superficial, ideas of themselves, paraded by the idea that the more money they have in the bank and the more successful they are, they must be doing well, when well is not categorized by those things. That's why someone can be healthy, work out, do all the things, and then still get cancer, or do all of these things and still be miserable and still have mental breakdowns like Alzheimer and, you know, dementia and a myriad of things, you know, because you're operating on one aspect of what I would say is maybe about 1.5% of reality. And all the other aspects of reality, you don't even see, because you've convinced yourself that this is how it has to be. Dangerous place to be, I think. And I think that it limits humanity from letting go of the chaos energy on the planet. People have no idea of the cause and effect that they create towards each other and the way they speak to each other. They have no idea of the amount of degradation that they're creating when they argue with their husband or their wife or their boyfriend or girlfriend and say nasty things to each other and think that the hurricanes in the world and the famine and all of these things are just things that are happening, but they are the actual main contributors to those things happening because they don't know anything about energy. They don't realize that they are 99.9% made of energy, and that is not even just the energy they can acknowledge within the matter substance of their body and their cells and the parts of their body that are firing off energy in their system with on top of that, the invisible energy that's around them that contributes to the way they live. And so all of these things are affecting our neurological process, our sympathetic nervous system. People are running high levels of cortisol, adrenal fatigue. People are burning themselves out to meet these expectations for other people. Most people spend their lives wanting to meet other people's idea of them before they even know that they have a life. And then people go into this pattern of self-destruction because they don't feel like they're getting what they want out of life, or they're getting the love they want, or they have the money they want in the bank and all of these things. And the reason why those things aren't happening is because they're not aware of what is happening in their own ecosystem with their own body, their own breath, their own cells, their own consciousness, their own emotions, and their own empathic energy that's constantly reading their entire experience daily, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. People are walking in to empathic disruptions and don't even realize they're in it because they've been programmed so much to be numb to those energies.
Yeah. Yeah. So we think about our physical experience, and we just see it from these blinders, not even talking about those other aspects that you talked about, our own relationship to our body, our cells, our nervous system, our environment, right? And then we get surprised when there's physical disease. So, which leads me to one question that I've been wanting to ask you. What is your view on something like a really downstream chronic disease like a cancer? What happens in the body in your perspective for cancer? Let's chat about something crucial that is omega-3s. You know about keeping things clean and pure, whether it's food on my plate or supplements in the cabinet, right? And when it comes to omega-3s, Peori's O3 Ultra Pure Fish Oil is my number one go-to choice. You just saw that on my stories last week. Why do I talk about omega-3s? It's essential for your heart health, brain health, eye health. Well, why do I talk about Peori? It's a quality transparency. Every batch undergoes rigorous testing for over 200 contaminants. You can check out the results yourself with a simple QR code on the bottle. Peori's O3 Ultra Pure Fish Oil delivers a potent dose of EPA and DHA without any unnecessary extras. None of those nasties. Peori's offering 20% off of their O3 Ultra Pure Fish Oil and all their other fantastic products to you, the Heal Self listener. That's 20% off, even on top of the already discounted subscription price. Just go to Peori.com, Peori.com/DRG to take care of your health with Peori.
Well, you know, there's several things, and I can't really say to you, this is what causes cancer, because that would just be completely not within my space to say. As a shaman, what we look at when it comes to any form of dis-ease in the body, such as cancer or anything of this nature, or viruses or any form of bacteria or pathogen getting into the system, we look at it from the understanding of how you communicate to yourself, how you communicate to yourself. What kind of relationships do you have with people? What kind of relationships do you have with yourself? What kind of foods do you eat? What type of environment do you live in? Most people don't even realize that some people are not meant to live in hot weather. But they don't know because they don't have a relationship with their body. They have a relationship with their body by eating healthy, doing keto diets, going to the gym, working out and whatever. But they've never really talked to their body. And in shamanism, we teach people how to talk to their body, how to listen to their body's needs, how to understand and how to regulate their system, and not just through the aspect of doing something to force it to regulate, such as running or going to the gym or eating a certain way, but really understand it's not just about eating a certain way, because then you have people who are following trends that they don't belong in. Like people will say, oh, I am a vegan. I go, really? That's interesting. I said, let me feel your veins and check your pulses, and let me hear you say certain vowels, and let me see how it sounds. I said, you're not meant to be vegan. So why are you vegan? Oh, you're vegan because you're following what you think people want you to do to be considered, you know, woke, as we say. But your body doesn't want to be vegan, and you haven't even asked it. And you're living in a climate that your body finds to be an attack upon your system. So it could be a multitude of things. It can also be something that's happening to people because of the types of disruptions they have. So I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. Let's say, for instance, you're a person and you have a high level empathic energy, and you pick up on the suffering and pain of the world, such as the wars, the continuous wars on our planet, mind you, the famine that people go through, the poverty, all kinds of things that you witness through television, through media, through things around you, the things you hear, and you're an empathic being, you will take what is called empathic signals into your body, and you will then change your body to be a reflection of the suffering that you feel. So that means then you'll get sick. You'll get cancer because your body will be a reflection of the continuous empathic energies. Now, let me explain to you, empathic energies, which will be studied more so in the future because science still hasn't brought enough shamans in to teach them about these things. But empathic energy makes up a huge portion in how you actually feel in your body. Empathic energy also demonstrates to your nervous system and to the subtle frequencies that move through your body in your neurological system if you're safe. So if your empathic frequencies are always being disrupted by ideas of war, fear of pandemics, fear of not knowing what's going to happen to you, fear if you're going to survive. Any form of survival breakdown, meaning mental, emotional breakdown, because you can't figure out how you're going to survive with this intense chaos happening around you, your body will feel like it's under attack 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, if I put you in a cage with a lion, and you don't know when that lion's going to eat you, and I tell you every single day, the lion could eat you today, and you can't get out of that cage, what would happen is you would start finding your fear, draining all your adrenals. Your cortisol levels will go really high, creating an imbalance of toxicity and imbalance of chemicals in your body that will affect your nervous system. Then your nervous system will fall apart. After your nervous system falls apart, your body will go into shock. Your blood will slow down and your breathing will be stilled, because when you go to fear, you stop breathing. So you're not getting enough oxygen to your brain. So now your brain's starting getting attacked, and every part of your body and your organs and everything will start getting attacked until finally you're going to have something that's going to go wrong with your health. This is when shamans look at major situations, when people come to me and say, oh, I have this or I have that, we look at a lot of those factors and we do tests on the body to see which ones are actually active and which ones aren't. So we do tests where we look at your dilation of your eyes. We watch how many times you blink. We watch what kind of breath do you have? Do you breathe deeply or do you breathe shallow? Do you fidget? What is your skin color? What is the color of your tongue? Why do you speak with this certain tone, which shows shamans that you have imbalances of fear inside of you that's moving, constantly attacking your system, and so much more. And once we understand that, then we can start to make sense of how you got sick and why you're sick and why the continuous decline of your health is continuing, because you have so many factors that are attacking your system that it's making your immune system go down, making you susceptible to pathogens, making you susceptible to high levels of inflammation. High levels of inflammation reverses your cell, which creates cancer, creates tumors, right? And then you're talking about neurological breakdowns, and then you have chronic situations that can take place through those empathy waves to your system, where it affects your nervous system and creates pockets of pain in your body that will keep attacking you under your rib cage, in your back, in your spine, in the back of your cranial, in your C2 vertebrae, hiding in pockets of your body that you don't even know is there because you made yourself numb to it and you keep adding more to it. So this is how we see these illnesses and dis-ease, all these things happening in the body. And this is how we see weight gain. And this is how we see mental decline. This is how we see all of these things as shamans. We see how the functioning aspects of everything is supposed to be harmonious. And one more factor, which is really important, is a lot of the things that we have in the world that we associate ourselves with were never meant to be with the human body. Inorganic substances, chemicals that we're exposed to daily, plastics, things that are getting into our lungs, things that are getting into our system, that cell phones, burning holes in different areas of our brain. And we have no idea that we're doing, because we just want to do what we want to do without being a society of people who go, wait a second, we want to create a society that is sustainable. Sustainable, not just in sustainable clothing or sustainable things in your home, which everyone's so big on, but real sustainability, human sustainability, spirituality, which is the ability to evolve, plays a high level integral aspect. I would say 80% aspect of whatever else that you have going on. Because you can go to the gym and eat well and all these things, but in your head, you're telling yourself all these horrible things about you. You're still destroying your body. You can eat healthy. You can be a biohacker. You can do all these things. I have proven it to so many of my biohacker friends. I'm like, you do all this biohacking. You do all these cold baths. You do all these things. But the way you talk to yourself, the emotional things that you're doing internally, and that's why you're sick now. And they're like, I don't understand. I did everything. I went with Wim Hof. I did this. I did that. None of those things matter if you don't understand how spirit is first, then there's the mind, then there's the emotions, then there's the body. And if the spirit aspect of your being, which is the evolutionary consciousness of intelligent consciousness for your being to thrive, and you don't realize that by getting on that phone every single minute, every second, holding up to your brain has a repercussion in the future, then you're not really that educated on what it means to be healthy.
Yeah, because it's much more expansive. It's all those dimensions, as you said.
Yes.
We're only in the physical going, hey, we need to do more of this.
Yeah.
But this is why I wanted to have these conversations, is because it's so important to look at. These empathic energies, which stuck out to me, do people have varying degrees of sensitivity to it based on just something natural? Like they're born more empathically sensitive than others? Or is that a byproduct of growing up in a household that may be traumatic and you become more hypersensitive?
It can be both. And that's a really great question, by the way. So for one, when you're in your mother's womb, your body is creating an awareness of energies that your mom is experiencing and what's going on in the outer environment. And that contributes to how your epigenetics and your body is actually turning on or turning off certain signals so that when you come out of the womb, like for instance, if you watch a mother give birth to a child in an environment that's chaotic, right? That child is going to become super hyper aware the moment it comes out of the womb, and its survival tactics are going to be so much more stronger than someone who was sitting in an environment that was more peaceful and the mom was singing ohms and doing all kinds of therapies and all this type of stuff, because the child has to be aware. Because if you look at in tribal culture, They had to survive against predators, animals that would hunt them. They had to survive in climates that could affect the tribe, where they would go into famine. So they had to hunt. So a child that was being born from the mother in tribal culture was already coming out knowing how to survive, right? So that's one aspect through the epigenetics. And then the other aspect is, if you, let's say you had a beautiful, amazing birth, your mom created a beautiful environment for you to process energy inside of her womb, but then you come into a family that's arguing and screaming across the room, fighting all the time, you create what is called an empathic sensitivity, where you develop a range of empathic energy that spreads way, way out so that you can sense into other people's feelings, so you know when they're going to attack. And then those types of people live their lives in a lot of ways, wanting to make sure everyone outside of them is in peace so they can get peace. And they become people pleasers. They become people who run around trying to make sure everyone's happy, and they hate conflict. They don't want to deal with conflict. They don't want to deal with any type of disruption. So they send their feelers out through their empathic energy sense to see if things are safe. And if they're not, they abandon themselves and spend more time wanting to fix the people around them so they can get back to a place of safety. And most people can't get back to a place of safety. And so that then creates mental health decline immediately.
Yeah. And how many times we see that? So many people walking around as people pleasers, not even knowing that that's what's eating away your mental health.
Yep.
And we think about, how can I be safe in this environment? Let me just people please. Let me just people please. And
right.
We see that all the time. And when you're attuned to that, you go, oh, I see what's really happening here. That's a nice person, but there's something going on under the surface.
Yes. And there's the other juxtaposition, which is they become ultimate control freaks.
On the other side.
They're incapable of holding relationships with people when it comes to love, because they're in a position of always being guarded and controlling and wanting to make sure that they're safe. And so they live in perpetual fear. And any form of fear that you live in is an attack upon the system.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Right. And that's the energy that is causing so much of the sickness that you're saying, is the just overwhelming. And we see it when we turn on the TV and we put on the radio and we go online, so much fear-driven agenda in many ways that is really hurting our health. How destructive is fear to the cells?
Fear is so destructive to the cells that the moment you start fearing and you don't clear. So fear has a value. Okay. In shamanism, we look at it like this. I can ask someone, you know, they say, am I afraid of making money? Am I afraid of love and all these things? And fear will then show you what you're afraid of. And then you have a choice to clear it. But the fear that is the issue is what is called recycled fear. So recycled fear means that you had a situation that happened to you, or you're afraid of a situation that happened to you. And what a lot of people don't realize is that whenever you have fear, you activate what is called magnetic energy in your body. And that magnetic energy then draws you to the very thing you're afraid of, right? And that's the same with reaction. So when someone sees something and they're like, right, their breath is stopped, magnetic energy comes on, and then it draws their attention into it even more, and they start to pull the empathic energy into their body. And so that's the reason why I always tell people, like, if you think that you're being, because the spiritual community has this idea that they are very spiritual because they are doing all these things, but the moment they see war, they go, oh my God, there's so much war. The fact that they're doing that means they're already serving the war. Because in shamanism, if your consciousness is wherever your power source is, so this is a power source, I'm a power source, my attention is the greatest power in the universe. Where I put my attention is where my power is. That means I'm contributing through my life source, my mental source, my emotional source, my spiritual source is all giving power to that thing to continue to exist in reality. The consciousness of evolution is based on the idea of what dream do you dream? If you see something and you react to it, you trap it in time and space as a reality. The biggest fear that people have is called trapped recycled fear. It means they're in fear and they tell themselves another story, another story, another story, another story to anchor that fear in deeper and deeper and deeper. It sounds like this. I'm so afraid of that dog biting me. I'm just going to use that as an example. What if that dog bites me and I end up in the hospital? What if I end up in the hospital, I'm not going to be able to take care of my kids? Oh my God, if I end up in the hospital and I'm taking my kids and the neighbor just lets their dog loose and I get bit, what if they have rabies? All of these things are building layers of anchor going deeper and deeper down into my core. That fear then... your body sees it, your subconscious sees it, your unconscious sees it and goes, we need to get rid of this. This is a foreign invader. This is a virus that is now entering the body and creating disruptions within the energetic patterns of your system. So what is your mind and your subconscious and your unconscious and your body starts to do? It starts to push it out, okay? Here's why people suffer. They go back to it. They pull it right back. People go to psychologists and they go and talk about their past. Why are you talking about your past? So you don't realize that you're an empathic being, that the moment you start talking about something that happened to you in the past, you're pulling empathic frequency back into your cells, back into your muscle tissue, back into your myofascia, back into your organs, back into your neurological system. And your body doesn't know that that's the past. Your body only knows what it feels in what it gets energetically. So it thinks it's being attacked again. So you're creating what we call recycled fear. And then let's say you're in fear and now you're listening to someone else sharing fear with you. Now you have what is called, you're coupling your fear together. Now you're creating what is called combination terror, because this is what people do when they go into, and this is why the government loves to create these mass experiences for humanity, because then people go into it and then they take it, the virus, and they share it with others. And then they get pulled into that. And the more they can get people's energy and attention in that, they have power. And this is how human beings are operated in this conglomerate, this collective degradation of humanity. Is all you have to do is get someone's attention, just like people listening to us right now on this podcast. They respect you enough to take time out of their life to listen to this podcast because they're giving you their greatest power, their attention. Anyone in the world who has the greatest attention on our planet is a celebrity or a superstar or famous because they got more attention. Anything that comes out in the world where everyone's attention is on, that is the thing that's taking the power. So the system knows all we have to do is get their attention. And that's, people don't even know they're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. They're giving away their attention over and over.
Over and over. And for things that are so not supporting the essence of what it means for them to live such a wondrous, most beautiful and profound life. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we're in this cycle. We keep pushing back that fear. How do we, what does the body do to remove it? You're saying that the body's so intelligent when it's in our subconscious, it's just pulling it back out and we pull it back in. How does it feel when it's moving out of us?
Listen, spring is around the corner and this is my favorite time of year. I do some spring cleaning. I throw a lot away. The things that don't serve me, they're gone, right? And you also may be thinking about how to get rid of any unnecessary toxin or allergens in your house. And it's about upgrading your bed. It is time. I talk about Birch almost every other show because I love this mattress. Birch mattresses are GOTS and GreenGuard Gold certified. That means they're free of any of those nasty chemicals. That means they're free of any of those nasty chemicals that we see in all those conventional beds that are causing a lot of issues in human health, especially in your respiratory system, but even downstream in your immune and hormonal system. So they're free of polyurethane-based foams and harsh unnecessary chemicals and pollutants. The wool in Birch mattresses are hypoallergenic and mildew resistant. I've been sleeping on mine for 3 years now, right? Just about 3 years. It's been a game changer. It's the best bed I've ever had by far. You know, my family has it. My friends have it. Everyone's got a Birch out here in LA because of me. I always tell them this is my favorite bed. And the comfort, the support, it's like sleeping on a cloud. If you are in the market for a new mattress, Birch offers a 100-night sleep trial so you can experience the difference for yourself risk-free. Plus, with a 25-year warranty, flexible payment plans, and financing options, Birch has your back for the long haul. And they ship free within the United States. Head over to birchliving.com/heal thyself to take advantage of the March Madness sale, 20% off site-wide, plus 2 free EcoRest pillows with your mattress purchase. That is Birch, B-I-R-C-H, living.com/heal thyself.
Well, it's quite simple, actually. I can run a test on you and just give you an example.
Okay,
I'll run a shamanic test on you and just tell me if you can feel frequencies. So I'm going to run a test on you and I'm going to send a frequency into your body right now and tell me if you feel any sensation in your body.
Yeah, right here.
Good. Now I'm going to go ahead and increase it and just tell me when you feel it starting to move.
Right now.
And give me a second. And now I'm going to find things in your body that want to get out and that your body's already pushing out. And I'm going to go ahead and tell me when you feel it coming up and out of your system.
Right now.
And do you see how it's moving?
Yeah.
Right. So your body's doing that all the time. Your spirit is doing that all the time because your spirit comes from pure light, which is pure love. Anything that is not love, your being wants to get rid of it immediately. The reason why it keeps having difficulty is because we use words like this. I have a block. I'm stuck. I'm trapped. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't. These words are what we call in shamanism, you are casting energy through vocals, which has an effect on matter. So when you say something's blocked, it may not have even been blocked, but now it's become blocked. Or people will say things like, this pain is so deep down inside. Is it really deep down inside? Because now you just made it deep down inside. Because everything you say and everything you think, because of the spiritual planes, it all comes to come together in that moment, the moment you open your mouth. And that's why we say in shamanism, be impeccable with your words. Be mindful of what words you use and also look in the dictionary or what these meanings are, because your subconscious and conscious mind will take those words and build a whole energetic system inside of you based on those words. When you think, people will say things like this, I'm having a really bad day. full stop, period. Okay? In shamanism, we say the universe is very simple, very easy. Everything in the universe must move in order for it to evolve. The oceans move, trees, flowers move, the wind moves, sun and sky moves, the cells in your body, your blood is moving, your lymphatic system's moving, your endocrine system's moving, everything is moving. Whenever there's stagnation and stop, it dies. So why would you say a sentence like, I'm having a bad day, and put a period there? Instead, you could say, I'm having a bad day. However, amazing energies are now showing up for me and shifting me out of this and opening me up to a different experience. Therefore, you're telegraphing in your spiritual nature, meaning the part of you that wants to evolve, that you accept evolution and that you can evolve from this space. Mental health means it's trapped thinking. It means mind has been trapped. Thoughts are trapped. The way of your communication is trapped. And so there's no more, it can't move. Everything has to stay in movement. That's why when people talk about the power of now and all this hokey pokey nonsense that people like to pull into from the new age world to make something sound so cool and different, there's no such thing as the power of now. There's only the now that you create with your mind. But in the universal understanding of things, everything is moving. If it doesn't, everything would cease to exist. So what you see, if you have a situation in front of you, as long as you don't react to it and you just observe it, you don't place a judgment on it and you don't try to lock it in place by reacting to it or putting your attention on it, you can say, okay, that's what I see right now. Now I'm going to go over here and use my powers as a creator and I'm going to dream greater than what I see. And now the universe gets that and then pulls that in, and then that becomes your next reality. Reality isn't a still thing. Reality is an ever-moving cycle of evolution. And so when people say, I'm doing spiritual work, I'm doing shadow work, I don't understand what they're talking about. You're evolving. People like to make evolution this thing that I'm working on myself, and then once I do it, it's going to be gone. And you're going to be evolving throughout for all eternity. So get comfortable with evolution. And what does that mean? That means what? That means stop trying to be perfect. Because perfection stops evolution. Because perfection means that you don't believe that you can evolve. Most people beat up on themselves when they feel that they are not perfect or not good enough or not doing enough or any of these things, which is such a degradation. It is a demolishing effect to this, to your body, to your cells, to your entire being, because your being is like, I'm evolving. You can make mistakes. It's okay. That's a part of evolution. That's why you're here. Make the mistakes. You know, but don't beat up on yourself and give yourself love only when you're perfect or only when you're succeeding or only when you have everything figured out. Love yourself when you don't have it figured out. Love yourself when you are feeling that you made a mistake. And in that, you will see a greater source of mental clarity, a greater source of mental acuity. You will see that your mental health level and the way you process information will go up so much more higher than what most people process at. Most people are processing at a low processing field where they process information in a way that is riddled with things they've experienced because they use analyzation as a way to process instead of using observation as a processing and feeling and the ability to go into it and then walk out of it. So yeah, that plays a huge integral part in our evolution.
You know, I think about, you said analyzing, and I know a lot of people who are perfectionists, it's here and we're analyzing, you know, should I have done this? I shouldn't have. Why did I, you know, I could have, I would have. But you said something so important is actually having the body awareness to say, how do I feel in this right now? Let me observe. And how do I feel? It's like basic.
It is.
Basic, but we don't learn that as kids. We just go right into our heads at some point and we live there. And all of our talk to ourselves and our experience with the world comes from mind instead of what you're saying, the body, the spirit, the heart, all of that. Super important. Now, you mentioned some like blocks or like working through the shadow work. Do you believe in darkness, dark entities, things like that?
Yes, of course. That's why we came here. We came here for them.
Okay. Can you explain that? That's a new concept.
Yeah. So when we all at one point were in what people call heaven or nirvana, it's like you have your own universe. Everyone has their own universe. And, you know, there's planets throughout the galaxy we can travel to and so forth. But some beings came to this part of the galaxy and used their free will to see what would be the opposite of light. And then darkness was born because of that free will. There's nothing stopping you from how you create, right? But what happened is they weren't ready, prepared for what that would mean and what would happen when that was created, that they fell into it and they got consumed by it. And so every emotion, every behavior and every reaction was void of the light, which is pure love. Right? The essence of love. When people talk about God, you know, there's God that the Matrix created, which is the God that, you know, punishes you and gets his pennies in a bunch and will send you to hell and kicked out Lucifer and has a complex of, you know, if you do this, you do this, there's a consequence that I'm going to play on you. But in truth, if you look at the old teachings of, like you have, for instance, the Kabbalah, you have the Torah, you have all of these old teachings. But in the old teachings, there is the understanding of that God is omnipresent and omnipotent. That means that a macro cannot become a micro because we would have nothing to evolve to. So that in just common sense means that whole idea is so detrimental for humanity, because if you believe God would punish you and you believe that God would send you to hell, your subconscious mind will make an imprint of that and start destroying you right away so that God doesn't have to destroy you. So what happens is when souls get trapped in that, right, they can't forgive themselves because they don't understand what forgiveness is for the things that they have done. So when we chose to come here, take either a female or male body as according to what was necessary, choose our geographical location, our parents based on the certain frequencies that they would present to us at a very young age, so that we also erase our memory. So we don't remember where we come from. That's why a lot of people don't remember, because you would never fully submerge yourself in this experience. You would come here and go, oh, I'm out of here. I'm out, right? So we erase our memory and we come here and we take on what we call the darkness. And we take it on based on the frequencies we see within our family. And now some people can say, well, I had a really great family. I had a great childhood. Yes, you may have had a great childhood and had a great family, but there were things that did affect you, and those things you've come here to process. That's why spirit doesn't help you to come out of those things at a young age, because that's your, as we say in shamanism, that's your rites of passage. And if you look at it from the Kabbalic teaching, it's your tikkun. And everyone has a way of acknowledging it in different world religions and cultures. So when we look at that, we understand that we don't need to be on earth because we need to learn. We came here to lift the darkness back into the light. But we can't lift the darkness to the light if we don't understand duality and how it fell into darkness. So we come into a dualistic experience. Once we start raising our consciousness and realizing that we're eternal beings, there's no need to judge. We understand that people are acting out their pain and their hurt and their darkness onto each other. And we have to come and hold space. And see, that's where the mental health issue comes in, because the mind represents the masculine and the emotions represents the feminine. The voice represents the feminine. The mind is not supposed to dictate to the emotions. It's not supposed to analyze. It's not supposed to tell the emotions what is actually being felt in this world. It's supposed to give the emotions information that comes from spirit and hold space for the emotions to develop in those experiences, which creates emotional intelligence. Then the emotions then reports back to the mind. The mind feels great because everything is in harmony. And then you begin to create more in life. But what we have done is we have allowed the masculine mind to dominate the feminine, which dominates our emotional intelligence. So that dominates our ability to see that when someone else is in pain, when we inflict it, how it feels, what it feels like, and why we shouldn't do it. This gives us the ability to destroy, destruct, go to war, whatever, without consciousness or thinking of the value of life. Human beings value things in material world more than they value life itself. And so you have people on the planet who will call someone a name, not realizing why would you ever put down another human being from seeing their potential of how beautiful and loving they are? Why would you call them a name? Why would you hurt another human being? Because you don't have emotional intelligence, because you can't feel what you're actually doing to the universe. You think that when you argue with your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend and you bicker, that you're just bickering and it's over and you guys live your life. You don't realize the insurmountable effect that you've caused for your children, the plants in your environment, your neighbors, the world itself, because every energy doesn't disappear. It goes somewhere to support something. So you might have a kid in the hospital who's fighting for their life to stay alive from an illness. And if people are more loving on the planet, those frequencies will touch that kid and give them the strength and the courage they need to pull themselves out of it. But if people are fighting and bickering and arguing, they don't realize that the magnetic effects of Earth creates what we call a grouping. That means that if you argue with your husband or wife and you don't solve it with love, I realize that you're playing a power structure that is destructive, but instead come into a formation of love. That energy then connects with every single person on the planet who's arguing. And then it goes to our hurricanes and our floods and to people who are sick in the hospital, to countries that will all of a sudden start having war. And we don't realize that those energies are invisible. But they're there. And so shamans see those energies and we go, oh, we know why there's war right now, because look at how people are treating each other. This is a reaction of that.
Ooh, so natural disasters, war are downstream manifestations of us having such poor emotional intelligence that we hurt each other without even thinking twice about it.
And hurt ourselves.
And that energy has to move. It doesn't just disappear. It moves through and coagulates with other energies that are
Nothing disappears. You can take a piece of wood and burn it, and that wood now is burned and turns to ash, but that what happens is the smoke is now going up into the air, and now it turns into another, it merges with a different element. Nothing can be completely disappeared, because every energy exists. And that's taught in science with quantum physics and understanding of quarks and nodes and how scientists have figured out that your body has light frequencies that are disappearing and reappearing in other places, because nothing ever is destroyed. So if nothing is ever destroyed, but what you can do, and this is the cool thing, is you can transform it. You can alchemize it. You can change the frequency through thought, through words, through how you treat someone. So those frequencies that are disruptive then become harmonized again. And this is why meditation is important, because you're changing the frequencies in your neurological brain patterns and the way that your synapses are communicating to and building new branches that open up new levels of intelligence and awakening certain parts of your brain that you don't realize that are available to use. And you start to become more aware of your environment. So you can see signs, you can hear other beings in other dimensions, because you're capable of removing those veils that are there, that you are now feeling safe enough to immerse yourself in this wonderful experience of being a being who's eternal and made of light and energy. When this body goes, it returns to the earth into another form, but it doesn't disappear. But your spirit goes into another dimension, but it doesn't disappear. It's just in a different dimension, operating on a different energy source. Mm.
Do we reunite with the whole when we die?
Always, for those who choose to.
Okay.
There is no force. It's always choice.
So then the question is that I probably can read the minds of people listening and viewing right now. They might go, well, what about all the bad people? What about the people who chose to hurt people? Do they reunite with the whole, or are they to eternal damnation?
Oh, one of my favorite air purifiers in history is the Air Doctor. Americans, you know, you spend 90% of your time indoors. That is about 20,000 breaths a day. And according to the EPA, indoor air is about 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air. Talked about this so much on many shows. And in some cases, up to 100 times more polluted. And poor air quality can have detrimental effects on your respiratory health. It can exacerbate conditions like asthma or allergies, contribute to fatigue, headaches, overall discomfort. And with the rise of pollutants and allergens in indoor environments, ensuring nice, clean, purified air, that's essential at this point, especially if you're living in a city. So investing in an air purifier isn't about enhancing comfort. It's about safeguarding your health and the health of your children. Kids' lungs are very much so vulnerable. So it gives you a peace of mind. Now you got a sanctuary where you can breathe easy. I got an Air Doctor in my living room. I got it in the second room. I got it in my master. I have one in the podcast studio, and I have one in my other place that I stay at in LA. So 5. Yes. 5 Air Doctors in the places that I live, because for me, it's so important to have clean air. And I know when the Air Doctor is not on, and I know when the Air Doctor is on. The air is clean, it is filtered, I'm breathing fine, and I'm sleeping fine. I'm not waking up congested. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold, bacteria, and even viruses. Air Doctor purifiers also feature whisper jet fans, 30% quieter than all of those ordinary air purifiers that you would buy at whatever conventional store. Air Doctor also comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. If you don't like it, return it back, minus the shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com, use the code DRG, and depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off and up to $300 off. Exclusive to Heal Thyself listeners, you also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit. Go to airdoctor, A-I-R-D-O-C-T-O-R, pro.com, and use the promo code DRG.
There's no such thing as eternal damnation. That's all created so people can live in fear and be controlled by an indoctrinated system. You are, and you know, and I find that funny too, and I'm just going to go into that for a second. I don't understand. I studied world religion. I lived in Israel for many years. I studied the Torah. I lived with a religious family. I studied Kabbalah. I went to Christian church. I went to Christian school. I've studied Buddhism. I've studied in going to learning about the Quran and going and living in countries, in Muslim countries, and really honoring their traditions. And what I find fascinating is that people have the nerve to be so completely unaware that even in the Bible, they ask Jesus in Matthew's, how does one enter the kingdom of heaven? He said, to tell you the truth, you can only enter the kingdom of heaven unless you come as a child. Now, heaven is a state of consciousness, right? Now, if you look even a little bit deeper, there's a story called The Prodigal Son. The Prodigal Son is a story about a boy who does all of these crazy things that are so sinful and everything. And then he comes home to his father. And his father reaches in his pocket and grabs a ring and puts it on his son's finger and says, welcome home. So why do human beings think that punishment and condemnation and the need for justice is the way in which to redeem a soul? Human beings want justice and condemnation because they don't have emotional intelligence. So they operate on the idea of, you have to pay for what you did, and we need to see you suffer in order to feel at peace. Right. Why would you ever want your brothers and sisters to suffer? Why wouldn't you want them? Wouldn't you rather them come into realization of the depths of who they are and why they did what they did? And why would God limit his children from coming home. So a lot of souls may choose not to go home because a lot of the beings in the darkness are our brothers and sisters who died and can't get home to the light because they don't believe they deserve love. So they're trapped in an underworld. And those voices that you hear in your head that tell you, you're fat, you're not good enough, people are going to laugh at you, you're not going to get the promotion, you're a loser, you're this, you're that. Those are those spirits playing out their stories in your head with your own voice. And you think it's you because you don't know how your brain works. Because you think your third finite brain is this brain that's in your head, but you don't realize that's a small portion of your brain. Your brain is an energy source that's all around you, picking up on all types of information. And this organ in your head is being filtered, a small portion of that information, because you can't handle the level of information that's actually really available to you.
Wow.
But when you learn to meditate, when you learn to expand consciousness, you can receive more from your real brain. And then people go, oh my God, I had no idea that that even existed. Yeah, because your mind wasn't allowing you to see that it existed because it was too much for your brain to take in. This is what, when we talk about the evolution of the brain, we are only using a small percentage of our brain based on the understanding of what we can accept. There are people on the planet who can accept a lot more than what some people can accept. And that's why they have perceptions that go beyond what people can see. And that's why people think they're crazy, but they're not crazy. They just are, their brain is much more acceptable to different forms of energy. But it doesn't mean they're crazy. You know, like I had this woman say to me, she goes, my son sees this man standing in his room, but me and my husband keep telling him he's making it up. I go, how do you know he's making it up? What if he isn't making it up and you're disregarding his brain? And so then he shuts that part of his brain down, because when we were kids, we had that perception. You had the monster under your bed, the boogeyman, the thing in your closet. You were afraid that something was sitting. You felt the bed go down on one side and felt things around you. But what did you do? You wanted to fear. And you wanted to fear so much as a kid that you didn't like those things, that you shut that part of your sensitivity off. The difference with people who have those abilities is that they didn't shut it off. I didn't shut it off. When there was something under my bed, I'm like, why are you under my bed? And then it spoke to me. And I was like, oh my God, it's speaking to me. And it's like, are you scared? And I'm like, no, I'm curious. Are you a spirit? It said, yes. I'm like, why are you here? It said, to scare you. Why are you here to scare me? So you'll never go into the realm of darkness and bring the light. So we need you to be scared of the darkness so that you will never, ever bring your light into our dimension. So we come at you at a young age. Oh, really? Interesting. And I started doing more and more and more investigation as I was going through my training as a shaman. And what I started to discover was that everyone has these abilities, but it's fear that limits them and it shuts it off. Why would you want to shut off a part of your brain? Why would you want to shut off that part of your brain that's able to receive more from your bigger brain that is capable of giving you more clarity on this planet?
Yeah.
Why would? That's crazy to me.
Yeah. You know, I think about when I was a kid, I would see ghosts.
Yes, of course you did.
And I would hear them. I would see them in my room and I'd be so scared.
Yep.
Right? And I saw this movie called The Exorcist early on. And all of a sudden the ghosts became demons and the fear went to 100. So I completely just stopped seeing them. And then as of like 11, 12, all the way to high school, even into college, and then it started coming back. So my question is, are all kids attuned to these energies?
Yes.
Okay. And then a lot of us close up.
Either through our parents not supporting us or through the intense fear of terror that we shut it off.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the latter was for me. So for people who want to connect to their gifts, maybe it's a medium gift or a channeling gift. How do we start nurturing this part of us if we want to open up again?
So a lot of times people will question those gifts. And that's the first thing you have to, when I say have to, let me take that word out. You can choose to, because I don't like anything of force. You can choose to. You can choose to pay attention to it And instead of trying to analyze it or trying to say it's something it is, but it isn't, or did I make that up or anything, just say, I heard you. I felt that. I saw that. And leave it like that. Just start with that simple exercise. I felt that. I saw that. I heard that. AVK, audio, visual, kinesthetic. I heard that. I saw that. I felt that. Once you start doing that, your brain will see that you're not reacting with fear. You're not reacting. You are actually expanding the beautiful, beautiful network in your brain that has all of these neurons that are waiting to activate other aspects of your brain so that the bigger brain, which is your one that's all around you, can bring you new information in. This is how you have people like Einstein and Thomas Edison and people who are the pioneers of thinking, Tesla, and all of these different people, because they were able to hear other beings share information with them and then said, oh, let me draw this, what they're telling me to draw. And then all of a sudden we have new technology on the planet.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Whenever you talk to an inventor, they always will say to you, I got a vision. Something told me to do it. I felt that this is how it has to be done. You know, look at the Wright brothers. People never thought they would ever fly in the sky. They took ships to get to where they needed to go. And in one day, these two brothers started getting these messages and started talking to each other about it and going, let's look at birds. And then let's see, maybe we could fly in the sky like a bird. And they kept going and going, and they figured out how to make an airplane.
Yeah.
Every innovative thing you see on the planet came from the invisible planes, brought through by the person who was open and said, I heard it, I see it, I felt it, and they was able to come in. And then they were able to build the thing that they were able to build.
Mm.
So why would you want to shut that beautiful gift down?
Yeah.
You know, like, why?
It's not a block. It's just a perception. It's just perceiving, yes, I did hear and feel and see that.
Yeah, I saw the spirit.
Yeah.
Okay.
And staying open. That's really the gift. It's not just like you're blocked. You have to learn this new technique and go to all these schooling. You know, you could just connect to that.
Yeah. And spirits don't even look like the Hollywood things that Hollywood shows, demons and all this kind of stuff. That's so Hollywood. But you have to understand, Hollywood is a part of the Matrix. Its job is to create illusionary things to get you to create that for yourself. So when I talk to spirits and I go into the dark realms and talk to spirits, they're like, we put on costumes. We have learned that human beings project onto us what they think we look like. And so we take it on.
Wow.
And same with angels. People think angels have wings and they look like blonde haired guy with blue eyes coming at them, or some, you know, thing with a robe and whatnot. And I talk to angels and angel goes, no, that's not how we look, but that's what people feel comfortable with. So we come that way.
Interesting.
Because that's all they can perceive. They don't want to perceive anything else.
Right.
To perceive anything else, they go into fear. And why do people go into fear? Because they're afraid of the unknown. And what is the unknown? It's a place where you get to create and experience things that you've never experienced. And how many people have gone through unknown things, like your first kiss, your first day at school? You know, so many things that you've gone through that are unknown and you survived, but you still can't go through the unknown of the spirit world because you think something's going to hurt you or get you.
That's the fear we live in.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that's the fear we live in. And,
yeah.
And even possess you and things like that.
If possession can only happen if you want to be possessed. You can't get possessed just to get possessed.
Right. Okay. It's the perspective. It's the yes or no, open.
Yeah.
Or no.
Because the purpose of possession is to do something for you. Think about it. If you have free will and God's like, okay, you have free will. You're my child. I love you unconditionally. I'll never judge you. I want you to play with your powers in this dimension until you can learn how to master the ones that keep you in the highest place of love for how you use your powers, right? So you have this playground called Earth, where you get to come and use your powers and see the cause and effect of them, right? So if you say, I'm scared to be in the eyes of the public, angels come from pure love. They can't support that for you. So you have to have a being that does support it. So you have beings in the underworld who come in and say, hey, so you're afraid of being in the eyes of the public? I'll make sure that we put you in so many situations that you won't be in the eyes of the public. Or you're afraid that you're afraid to date someone who's narcissistic. I'll bring more narcissistic people in so you can date them. Because I'm here to give you what you desire. So darkness plays an integral role in humanity because there's a lot of people on the planet who don't want to be in their power.
Right.
So there's got to be something that's there for them.
Right. Right. So it's playing to whatever you're projecting over and over, right?
Of course.
So coming back, it is integral for our humanity and for our health to have awareness about what we're thinking and saying, right? And this is, like we said, impeccable with your word, because it's coming back to that.
I can't tell you how many people come to me and tell me their horrible doldry stories of how money's been hard for them and they can't get ahead and they haven't found love and they haven't found this. And when they tell their stories, they don't tell their stories with the awareness of it doesn't have to be like this anymore. They tell it to convince me of their suffering, such as, I can never find a man. I'm like, well, it's not that difficult to find. Well, how are you to say that, Shaman Durek? You know, I've been going on dating apps. I've done this. I've done that. So now they're arguing with me to be right about the thing they want to get rid of, but they're actually fighting to keep it. Okay. This is one of the biggest follies of humanity. It's called, I know Mandela was when I lived in Italy, I spent time with Nelson Mandela's autobiographer, and he was telling me how Nelson Mandela was acknowledging that how human beings, when a cage is open or someone puts a key in front of us to get ourselves out of the cage, we fight harder to stay in the cage than we do to get out of the cage because we become comfortable with discomfort. And in order for us as human beings to move through that parallel of dysfunctional thinking, we have to start being open to the idea that it really is easy to shift into a different energy like that. However, when someone says to me, Shaman Durek, I'm having money problems. I'm like, no, you're not. They're like, no, but I am. I'm like, no, not really. I see lots of money coming into your life. Actually, I see opportunities coming to you within the next week or so. They're like, really? I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh, and then all of a sudden it happens. And they're like, how did that happen? Because I didn't buy I didn't vote for you. I didn't take my life source energy, my power source energy, and sit my attention in your reality. I don't accept your reality. Your reality, I don't accept. Sorry. So I'm going to tell you the reality that I do accept because I'm a being of light. I'm here to hold the principles of possibility for humanity, not by the idea of playing into your stories. You're not going to ruin my lunch with your horrible stories and make my salad go stale because you want to share with me why your life is so miserable. I'm going to shift you so fast. So I'm the wrong person you want to talk to if you want to stay in that energy. Well, it's the same thing with spirits of the light, beings in the higher dimensions. All they do is just beam the truth on you. And that's why people, when they are in that space, they don't want that to happen. So they look for beings of the darkness who will shadow them from that light. You see? Like if you say, I'm worried about someone, what you're actually doing is destroying them. Because you're saying, I'm worried about them. You're casting a shadow on their life. If you go in, no, I'm not going to be worried about them because I know that they have powerful, beautiful spirits that have come to earth with them, that's assisting them right now. They're shifting. Beautiful things are going to show up for them real soon. And beautiful experiences are going to keep happening for them. That right there is called blessing someone versus going, I'm worried for them. Worried. You're worried. That's a reaction of fear. Therefore, you're causing the magnetic energy to project over to that which you worry about and pull it right in. So these are really important things that I'm always spending my time sharing with humanity because I don't see myself as a guru, and I definitely don't see myself as some higher being above people. I am your brother and sister. I am here like everyone else. And I just have a beautiful buffet that I've cultivated through many of my experiences in life and my knowledge and the things that I have weeded through that brings us back to simplicity and practical things that apply to our life. I'm not into the woo-woo blue bubble above your head that's floating above to the planet Osiris or this or that, because I'm not in the planet Osiris. I'm here. So I speak about practical ways that spirituality, meaning evolution, and the knowledge of things that you can do to increase your emotional intelligence and to optimize your being from spirit to mental, to emotional, to physical, and understanding how to create a life for yourself where you create your own heaven on earth, because you are choosing to operate on a different dimension while being on earth. That's why when press writes crazy things about me, people go, did you see what they wrote about you in Spain? Did you see what they wrote about you in Mexico? Did you see what they wrote about you in Japan? Did you see what they wrote about you? And I say, that's where they choose to write. They're not talking about me. They're talking about their idea of me. They're not talking about me, because I exist on a different level. I exist on a level of love. So I love them and I will always love them. And that's what they choose to do where they're in their evolution. But that's not my focus. My focus is to show up and hold space for people's intelligence, to show up and hold space for people's emotional intelligence, to show up and hold space for humanity to see how freaking amazing we are.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that, man. That resonated a lot. It really did, because we can all operate like that, right?
Yes.
We just tune in, you know, y'all listening to this podcast, take the notes. You know, we have some really good codes that have been downloaded here. This is amazing stuff. Your book, what's the name of it? And what can we expect to find in the book?
It's called Spirit Hacking. And the name came about because of my friend, Dave Asprey, who, when I first wrote the book, it was going to be called Blackout 2020. Are you ready? And my publisher said, oh, that's just really cryptic, Derek. Like, how do you know there's going to be a blackout? I said, because the spirits told me. Oh, well, what if it doesn't happen? And then we look like laughingstocks because we published your book. Right. So Dave told me, why don't you call yourself a spirit hacker? Because that's what you're doing. You're teaching people how to have practical, quick steps to shift their life. So that's the book, Spirit Hacking. And one of my favorite things that I am really excited about right now, so which I want to share with you, is my family and I just launched the Lit Vibe meditation app, where we infuse frequencies in the meditations that activate your powers inside. And with my niece, who is this amazing composer who graduated from Berklee College of Music, who is a master of frequency, and we joined together and created this beautiful meditation app where you can have community and meet with other people of like mind. And it's only been 3 weeks. We've had only a soft opening in 3 weeks, and it's blowing up. People are writing letters saying how their teenager has changed, how one woman was chronic depression and completely shifted her. And this is what I'm excited about. I'm excited about putting the power back in people's hands. Yeah. I'm excited about people looking in the mirror and looking at themselves differently the next day and going, wow, I am something special.
Yeah.
And so everything that I and my family create is about creating something that puts that power back in them so they can see their own, that they are leader of legacy and that they are sovereign being of infinite potential. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's why I'm here. Mm-hmm. Am I here? Do I have a mission? No. Do I have a purpose? No. Did I come here to make choices that make me happy? Yes. Am I here to share? Absolutely. However, I live to hold space, and I only have the time that I'm here on the planet, and when I'm gone, I'm gone. So I'm grateful to be able to come into your podcast, mm-hmm. and be invited to speak and share this love. And I appreciate you so much for choosing me to do that.
Yeah. Thank
you. Really, really honorable.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you so much for imparting so much wisdom. You know, you say you don't have a purpose, but I see spiritual purpose here. Like, And it's
the reason why I don't say I have a purpose or a mission is because once you start going into purpose and mission, you start sliding over to the matrix, to the idea that you have to have a career and you have to have this job and you have this purpose and this mission. And then you start involving your ego in it to beat up on you, or different things to beat up on you if you feel like you're not meeting those expectations of that purpose. So I just choose to exist.
Beautiful. I want to thank you from all of the viewers and listeners for imparting so much wisdom, giving us practical tips. Like, you know, spirituality can be so just ethereal and ambiguous. Like, what do I do now? Should I meditate more? Maybe I'll do it 2 times a day now, right?
Yes, exactly.
And a lot of us are lost. You know, we got some physical grounding, but we don't know how to hack the spiritual world, or at least have practical pieces. Everyone go get the book. Go check it out. There's a lot of, it's going to be really good for you. Thank you so much, Shaman Durek.